Please don't now switch off when I put my notice hat on next, because I believe the vast majority of the notices are actually part of what we want to say for 2014 this morning. But I hope you've noticed the chairs are different today. And I'd like to thank Wendy and Dave in helping and sorting to put them out like this, because a lot of thought went into this on their part and mine, because we want the right setting. And I wanted to do away with, there's nothing wrong with the block in the middle, not with the people, but a lot of people just look at the back of someone else's head. And also we wanted space so that you weren't getting a flag or a tambourine poked in your eye. So in the space that we've got, we wanted to create space, but also to break it up a bit. So it's not, yeah, that's very true, Jill. It's amazing that no matter where you put seats, people still generate to that same bit of room thing. So next week you can all move around and completely throw us out. So, but I want to thank them for helping with that. Also thank Angie, Ron and Lou. Would like to thank the church for the support in prayer in regards to Lou's operation. She's still doing okay? She's doing well? She's doing well. So they really just wanted to thank you. And I'd like to thank you for support, phone calls, texts. That's what we are as family. We're not just... We're not about meetings. That's what we're trying to get away from. We are family living together. So that's every aspect of our life. Which leads me to John and Luana would like to say something, I do believe. Probably this one.
Okay. Hello, everybody. We'd like to share some family news. I think a lot of people already know, but we'd like to make it official. Luana and I, more Luana, we're pregnant. At 14 weeks, so 3 months almost, yeah.
I'm going to pray. Okay, yeah. Yeah, Father, we thank you for the wonder of creation. Lord, we never fail to amaze what your hand does. And we just ask you that your hand will be upon this young baby and Luana, particularly at this time. Lord, we ask for safe pregnancy, Father. We ask that there will be no issues and no problems, and that they will come to safe delivery in the right time. And Lord, I pray, be preparing them as a couple. Lord, I remember when our first came home, I felt so helpless, Lord. But Lord, you equip us, and you give us family around to help. So I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for physical and church family. But we ask your hand be upon it. Lord, even now, I thank you that you have plans and purposes. And Lord, we ask you, just equip them to be good parents. Equip them to help this young child grow. But Lord, at this stage, we ask for your protection and your health upon this baby and Luana in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you get ready for that hand gripping time. Right? We'll pray for your hand. Okay, just to say that we are meeting with Wildwood Church again this coming Wednesday, if you're able to come. That is this month in Stafford at 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock. That's a.m. And if you come at p.m., you have missed it by 12 hours. But so that's a.m. We had a great time with them in December. The next one in February will be here, and that is on the 13th. Yeah. Yeah, the date was wrong, that's why. But we'll let you know the date for next. But that will be here. So we're alternating with them. Just to see what God says and where God takes us. So if you're able to come to that. Remember, there is ladies' prayer this Wednesday at 10 a.m. And Wednesday evening, we are meeting to pray again together. Just really encourage you. There was a good number here last Wednesday, and God spoke. And I want to hear what God has to continue to say to us through this month. We have produced a little handout. If you'd like one, then please come and see me at the end. But God was speaking to us, even on the first meeting. He didn't wait till the second, the first meeting. But we don't want to settle. We want to hear what God has to say. We want him to develop that picture he's beginning to speak to us. So, if you're able, please be here. This is your church, and we want to hear what God has to say for our church. I think that's all I had on those. Because this next note is, I guess, is part of what we want to share this morning, because it's regards to moving Rugeley Community Church forward in 2014. Now, Dawn's had to produce more of these this month, haven't you, Dawn? Yeah, it's great. If you have looked in your news sheet, you would have seen a half page, three quarter page heading called Call to Ministry, listing some opportunities for you to serve within the church family. And now this call to ministry came really, I think, was kick-started by Jacqueline and I's visit to Bethel Church in October. And if you remembered, I shared on the 3rd of November what God had been really saying to me. And I said at the time, it just doesn't affect me. What God says to me has an effect on us, because I'm here to lead you, and we are a family and one body moving together. And it was around the changes that I felt God was challenging me that I needed to make in my personal life, which would have an effect, but hopefully also have a benefit to the wider family. Particularly, I shared in regards to how much time I'd spent doing the building. And hence, this little list came out. And I talked about we needed a Sunday clear-up team, we need a baptistry team, and I need someone who will really take over unlocking and locking up for Bromford, because that's going really well. They're really enjoying being here, they're seeing clients, they're interacting with Food Bank. It's all crisscrossing, it's becoming a network of community. Now, I don't need help with these. I need someone to take over with these. Now, you've all been very polite in letting others come forward first. The only problem is, no one has come forward first. So, if you feel, and I don't want you to do it out of duty, I want you to do it because you're serving the Lord. That's what it's about. If you feel that you can do any of those, then please see me after. Also on that list is Access English. Dave needs support on a Monday afternoon. He needs, and it explains what he needs in the notice. I just want to say about Access English, because it's a great outreach opportunity. They are demonstrating Jesus' love through action. They're serving those in the community who want to improve their English. Now, it started within the church, but Dave now has three non-Christians on a Monday afternoon. And they're coming into a setting where Jesus is. And I don't mean the building. I mean, they're coming into an atmosphere where there's Christians. Now, Dave's first call and first responsibility is he teaches English. But as he says, he cannot but help drip the gospel in. He mentions it. It gets round to talking about it, because they're entering Jesus' environment. But to continue doing this effectively, he needs help in what he's said within the news sheet. So if you feel that you can do that, then please see Dave. Because actually, you're serving the kingdom. We're serving people, but we're serving the kingdom because people are on God's heart. I don't know if you remember, but after I'd shared on the 3rd of November, I said this was like a preacher's, this is a notice still. Yeah. Don't worry, my preach is shorter than the notice. So, but after I shared on the 3rd of November, I followed up roughly about 3 weeks later, announcing that early in 2014, Eric and Philippa be taking a sabbatical. But I can now say that that sabbatical is going to start on Monday the 24th of February and will carry through till Tuesday the 3rd of June. And they're using that time to rest, but also to seek God for their future. I think those of us who are here remember when I was saying about it, that when Eric came into eldership, that was one of the things that he wanted, specifically he asked of Martin and myself, that they would be given the opportunity to hear when he got to a certain age, which I shall let you work out for yourself, that involves free bus passes. Oh, doesn't it? Oh, I know. Oh, well. Okay, then there you go. Then. To see where God would want to do, what God wants to do with them in their new season. So, why have I mentioned that? Well, one of the other items on that course ministry list was Happy Tots, because it's going to affect Happy Tots, because Philippa leads Happy Tots. And I would say it's about Happy Tots, because I see it work every Tuesday. It is the biggest and most consistent outreach that we do as a church at this moment in time. And I just want to give you some statistics that Philippa has given me. It's the glasses. I'll give you a flavour. When we first, when we restarted again in September, we had 11 adults and 14 children. That's babies and toddlers. By mid-November, we had 26 adults and 32 children. This first week back now, after Christmas, we had 31 adults and 39 children. There are a total of 45 adults registered on the contact list. And we had 3 new ones yet again last week. What happens at Happy Tots? Yes, young ones play. But you know, good relationships are being built. There's praying for non-Christians, that's happening regular. And people are opening up and sharing through relationships that are being built. They are coming in to a setting of hope and restoration. They don't just come to a playgroup, they come into an atmosphere where Jesus is. They hear about him, they sing about him, and he gets talked about. But that's all working through relationship. We have seen salvation many years ago now, but we have seen it in Happy Tots. But I believe in the way that relationships are being built and the way that people are being prayed for and cared for, we will see that again in God's timing. But we desperately need to enlarge the core team. A core team who can set up and to pack away. We have some folks, like Jill and Rosalie, who can come along when it's set up to help talk to the mums and carers. But once Philippa goes on sabbatical, the core team is Sandra, Luana plus Bump, and me. And at present, when Philippa's not around, I have to do the majority of the setup. Now, what I shared earlier in regards to what God has been saying to me, Happy Tots shouldn't be dependent upon me. That's because it just shouldn't. But I don't want Happy Tots to have to stop because we don't have enough core members. And at the moment, we don't have enough core members. So I want you to ask you, will you please prayerfully pray about getting involved? And if you can do that, can you have a chat with Philippa? Because at the end of the day, this is God's church and we want to serve him. And we don't want to see aspects of church life stop. But I have to be brave enough before God and say, if I haven't got the personnel, it can't happen. And I have to trust God for that. Because it's his church. So please, prayerfully pray around that. Okay. When we were out in the prayer time this morning, I felt God say I was to start different this morning. Eric's going to come and share in a few minutes because I won't be long. But while we were praying, I got the verses from Joshua 5. And it says, this is when Joshua was on his way to Jericho. It says in verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And Joshua did so. And when I got those verses, I got an impression. I've never seen an angel. I sometimes wish I do, and then other times I read in Revelation, I think, perhaps I don't, I'll just wait until we get to glory. But I had this impression of a warrior standing here, and his helmet was touching the ceiling, and the length of him obviously went to the floor. And he had his sword out, and it was in the ground, and his hands were leaning upon it. And then when I looked at him and what I saw behind him, it was like 2014 went behind him in the distance. Dates, months. And then I felt the Spirit say this. You know, when Joshua said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" Really, that was Joshua asking all about himself. Because he said, "Are you for us or are you for your enemies?" And it's interesting, the captain of the host said neither, because he was about God's work. And I just felt for us, when we're coming into 2014, have you got in your mind already about yourself for 2014? What is it for me? What is it about my circumstance? What is it about this, that? When actually God wants to say to you at the outset this morning, the perspective should be about him. Not about us. Not about me. Not what my needs are. Not what my wants. What does God want to say? What does God want to do with me in 2014? Because if we have that perspective, there'll be a wide, wide, wide path that God takes us down in 2014. We'll go and touch ground that we've never touched before. And it wasn't necessarily wrong what Joshua was asking. I guess if I had somebody that big in front of me, I'd probably ask the same. But that's not what we should be asking. It's not, "God, what have you got for me?" "God, what do you want for me?" There are only subtle changes, but they'll make a difference to us all. So whatever you may have already thought this year holds, check it with the Holy Spirit. Is it a God perspective that we have? Now, over this week and next week, we're going to be looking at God's promises over us as a church and reminding ourselves of the steps that we're taking to fulfill his promises. Because there's many promises over us as a church as there is over us individually. I'm sure many of you could just say what God has said to you and what he wants to do with you. There are testimonies to be told here. But I want to ask you two questions at the outset of this year. Do you trust God and his word? Now this goes back to that picture again. Do you trust God and his word? And interestingly, that word trust came up a lot at the prayer meeting on Wednesday. And it's not a negative. It's a positive. It's an eagerness from the Father. Do you trust me for everything that I have for you this coming year? Or will you settle for what you think you can achieve? And secondly, what steps are we taking to hold on to his amazing promises along our spiritual journey? If you take somebody like Abraham, he was a man who never doubted God will fulfill his promise to him. A promise that Abraham would become the father of nations. And remember, when God was promising this to Abraham, Abraham was around 100 and Sarah's womb was dead. That's a tricky situation to be in, isn't it? You know, Abraham's life was marked by mistakes, sins, and failures, as well as wisdom and goodness. But Abraham's faith was strengthened by the obstacles he faced. We will all face obstacles in this coming year, and we'll have a choice. Either they will beat us down, or we will, in faith, be strengthened by what we face. Because Abraham's life was an example of faith in action. Abraham looked to God, he obeyed him, he waited for him to fulfill his word over him. It's why Paul could say this of Abraham in Romans 4:20. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. As we just remind ourselves this morning of our mission and vision statements, and then as Eric comes to just remind us about our step of discipleship, then next week, I'm going to be looking at, as well as some other things, the steps of lowering our age and the new facility. But I think in all of this, the steps somewhat play a second role. It's all about what God wants to do with us. The steps are not important. It's the people who are taking the steps that are important. And let us not see what we're about to see as just words on paper. But let us take hold and embrace what God has said over us, both corporately and individually. That we would be fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised. And my prayer for us is that increasingly through 2014, we would become a people who are example of faith in action. So do you remember our mission statement? I'm not going to say when was the last time you looked at it, because I said that last year. So I hope it hasn't been since last year you looked at it. But this is it. A church that brings hope and restoration to everyone in our community, town and region as family on mission together. We are his church. So it's going to be you and me that brings his hope and restoration to the community we live in. And we're going to do it as family together, supporting each other. We'll never do it in our own strength. We'll do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and his leading for us. But take those words and pray them into your heart. Don't just look at them. Take them and say, Lord, help me become the instrument that you want in outworking the purposes that you have. Because as we've said many times before, he has purpose for us. Vision. I just want to say something about vision. If vision is obtainable, it's not vision. If you can grasp hold of something, that isn't vision. If you're saying, this is vision and I can take it. No, vision is not where we are. In our case, it is where God is taking us to. So look for the steps that God will reveal in working towards fulfilling the vision and promise that he has purposed for his church. That's you and me. And these are our statements. This is what we believe God is calling us to be as his people within Rugeley and the region that we live in. Firstly, we want to build a church that is God-centered, Bible-based, and Spirit-filled. God-centered, Bible-based, Spirit-filled. That's what we need to be. This is how we will take his hope and restoration to those around us. Because we'll be a people who individually have God at the center of every circumstance of our life, that we will be Bible-based, that we will bring the truth and the values of the living word, and we're able to do that because we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not in our strength. That we would be the people God has called us to be in serving his purposes through the place, region, and world that we live in. That's faith in action. Take these statements and ask the Holy Spirit to break them down into daily steps, because this is outworking what he has called us to be. To be a people in God's kingdom who are locally committed yet globally connected. We have members from, or we have relationship and connections with, people from Poland, Brazil, South Africa, Russia, and France is on the horizon. We are locally committed, but it is so important and healthy to be globally connected. I'm excited about where some of these countries and places God is going to link us and take us. And some of us might go physically to visit. And some of them, as we've already experienced last year and previous year before, with Janusz and Camilla, is actually going to their hometown and their hometown coming to us. And do you know what it does? It stops us becoming small-minded. It gives us to be focused on how big a God we have. You know, wherever I go in the world, the places I've been, you know, it gives you a big perspective of how big our God is. And that's not just something for me. That's what we all need to catch, because it'll help us in our local situs. We desire to see people introduced to Christ and become members of a community where they can grow to maturity, and that this community would make an impact for God's kingdom. Are you expecting to make an impact for 2014? No? Yeah. Well, if you're not, take hold of his promises over you and be fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised. Position yourself. Position yourself to hear and to act on what God says to you. You are salt and light to the community that you live in. We want to see the spiritual regeneration of this town and the surrounding area come through proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and expressed through social action. The change in the atmosphere of this town, region that we live in, starts with us. We align ourselves to him, with who he is, what he says, and who we are in Christ. We're living fully for Jesus so that our words and actions proclaim the gospel in every circumstance of life. We want to be inclusive of all ages, classes, and races, helping them find love, acceptance, help, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement through Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a world that is short of love, acceptance, help, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement. I think sometimes as Christians we take those all for granted. The world on the whole knows nothing of these. That's why, as family together, we're called to take his light to a very dark world. And I thank you that we are already becoming a multicultural church. I long for the time when actually I see young ones out here, young children prophesying and praying for the sick. Because there is no age gap in the Father's kingdom. Then finally, that we would have a facility which would be a resource center to both the community we live in and the kingdom of God. I'm going to cover that more next week. I'm going to hand over to Eric, who's going to take us through discipleship.
It's great to have a vision, because one of the things it reminds us of is that we're not there yet. And as we pray about it and talk about it, God highlights particular things that we need to change in us and in our circumstances and the way we are together that bring us more into the vision. And we talk about these as strategies or plans, and we've got three of them. And I'm just going to talk about one called discipleship. And I feel like I've been talking about discipleship for years, and you ask yourself, what new can I say about it this morning? And in some ways, we don't need to say anything new. But what I felt God challenged me about was, well, when we use that word, do we all know what we mean? Or do we all have different ideas? And if I ask three of you now to come out the front and give me your definition of discipleship, do you think we'd hear three different answers? Yeah, I do, because I think we might even hear four different answers. And do you think that they would describe discipleship in terms of them being a disciple or of them making disciples? Which would it be? Which is more important to you? Now, how would you recognise a disciple if you saw one? And this isn't a spiritual question, because we can have all sorts of secular discipleship relationships as well. What's the sign of a disciple? Oh, I thought this was an easy question. Well, for me, there are two key characteristics. The person who's a disciple is a follower, and they know who they're following. They're following somebody in particular. I'm sorry if that's too deep and too theological for this early in the morning, but there we go. So what we're really interested in this morning is discipleship as it applies to our new life in Christ. And I've been looking at discipleship fairly intensely now, probably for 3 years, and I've got lots of material. And one of the interesting things is that different churches approach it in lots of different ways. And there's a Methodist church that has no, grow, glow, and go. Well, I'm sure God's using it to bless them. It doesn't get me out of bed in the morning. And here's another one that's having a program. And you see, we could have a popular vote about what discipleship means. We could look at what everybody else is doing and say, well, which one should we copy? But actually, we're not to copy any of them. God wants to deal with us and call us very specifically and deliberate ourselves. And so I thought, actually, if we could find out what the Bible says about discipleship, that could be quite a good place to start. Does anybody want to disagree? Have you got an eye on the clock? Or you genuinely don't want to disagree? I don't know. So this morning I've got 3 points which I'm going to try and get through very quickly. So point one. Discipleship is the continuing transformation of a person to become more like Jesus in character and purpose. Here's a question. Does anybody here think that I ought to become more like Jesus than I already am? You have my permission to be honest. You do. Well, actually, I think the same about you. So we're clear on that then. That process of becoming like Jesus is one that's still in process. And Jesus said, and this is recorded in Matthew chapter 5, you must therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And you see, even if you thought I was already good enough, when I read that, it makes it very clear to me that I'm still on the journey. He sets the standard rather high, doesn't he, Jesus? And Paul, Peter and John, in their letters to the early churches, didn't slacken the requirement off one little bit. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you see, that would actually be a bit disconcerting if we didn't have a promise from Jesus that he was committed to presenting us perfect before our Heavenly Father. So although we might see that there's still a long way to go on this journey, our comfort and encouragement comes from knowing that Jesus is on that journey with us. So that was point one. Point six. Actually, there's points 2 to 5 that I don't have time to cover this morning, but which are on the handout. Discipleship was intended by Jesus to be reproductive. So he didn't want sterile disciples, but he wanted disciples that produced more disciples. And those who follow his life and teaching will be prepared to share their faith experiences and invest themselves in the spiritual nurture of others. And actually, I couldn't stand out the front here and have any pretense of talking about discipleship without quoting you from Matthew 28, could I? You would have feel cheated, and I don't want you to go away feeling cheated. So those verses, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And one of the difficulties with verses when they're familiar like this is sometimes they lose their bite. Sometimes they're so familiar that we don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through them. But I just want to pick one thing out of there this morning, and that's to remind you that the commission that Jesus has placed on you is not just to make introductions. We often think about evangelism and the process of bringing people to Jesus and making that initial introduction. But actually, Jesus was calling his disciples to not just do that, but then teach them all that I have taught you. So I want you to look around at the other people here this morning and see all of them as, like you, a work in progress. And to know that part of the calling on your life is to help them on their journey to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you willing to be that for one another? Because if you are, then we'll see a change in us which is going to be very God-honouring and will actually bring us right into the very centre of his purpose for us. And point seven. Discipleship is centred in the life of a local church where fellowship of other disciples encourages, teaches and safeguards the discipleship process. Again, lots of verses we could quote. Just want to read you two from Hebrews. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Sometimes, maybe even often, hopefully not always, I might sound like I know it all, but actually I'm still learning and I need help from others to encourage me, challenge me and show me how to become a better follower of Jesus. Is that true of you as well? Just recently, Philip and I have been talking to others who've had sabbaticals in order to learn from them. See, we're still going to be responsible to God for how we invest our time during that period. But to start out without hearing the lessons that others have learned on their journey and actually listening to their advice would be absolutely arrogant. And it would be foolish. So I think one of the things I'm encouraging us to have is a teachable spirit. Are you somebody who is open to receive from others so that they can help you on that journey? Because 5 minutes ago they were looking around And they were seeing you as one of Jesus' unfinished projects. And they were thinking they might like to help along that journey. But they can only provide that help if you're open to receive it. And throughout the New Testament letters, it's clear that time and time again, the apostles are urging the people in the church to recognize their dependence on each other. And the church family should be the place where we can both find and provide the help that others need to become more like Jesus. And at the start, I asked the question whether discipleship in our church should be about us being disciples or making disciples. And you now know the answer. Both. Excellent. Somebody has been listening. That's great. Now, last week we watched that video of Bob Goff on the subject of Love Takes Action. And after wondering what he had for breakfast, because he was a bit tiring to watch, wasn't he? He threw out some challenges that I just found very powerful. And his first one was, are you just stalking Jesus or are you following him? And actually the challenge that comes out of that is, are you just somebody who knows about Jesus, who sort of watches him from a distance, but actually you're not engaged with him? Or are you somebody who is listening to Jesus and your life is being moulded and shaped by following him? And the second challenge that I picked up on in the context of discipleship was, how do you see the people around you? Do you see them on the basis of their history, or do you see them as who they're becoming in Jesus Christ? Because if you can see that, it will call out a different response in your heart towards them. Now, I guess that as a church, it's going to take us some time to learn how to commit ourselves to being discipled and to discipling others. But we feel very strongly that this is an area where God specifically wants us to grow. And there are lots of opportunities already. We are doing good things about discipling one another. But this is an area where we can grow more. And we'll be looking to do that through the rest of this year. Now, one thing is certain. If you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, then being a closer follower of him and encouraging others to be the same ought to be very high on your agenda for 2014. Let's pray. Father, sometimes words are just so frustrating and they somehow don't seem to catch the heart of what we're talking about. And there's that sense that you're just calling us into a whole area of Christ-likeness that is beyond anything that we've perhaps experienced or grasped in the past. And Father, it doesn't matter how many times we've set out and turned back or set out and failed, still your arms are held open and beckoning us to come onward in that journey with you. And Father, we pray that as we've today just reflected on the mission and vision that you've given us as a church and on the way that you want us to move forward with you over these next few months, we pray that you would do something which isn't just merely giving us new information, but you would actually cause something to grow in our hearts, which gives us a passion for spurring one another on to become more like Jesus. And a challenge that we're willing to receive from others that will push us ever closer to him. Father, this morning we say, please will you come and make us to be disciples who will bring glory to the name of Jesus in this place and in this region, and that through that we might even begin to touch the ends of the earth as people come here and go to other countries. Father, we thank you that it's no small thing that you've called us to be part of. And Father, we say that our confidence in our calling is not in us, but it's in you, the one who have called us. So please enlarge our vision for who we can be personally, and enlarge our vision for who we are as a church, so that we might not rob rudely of one single blessing that you intend to give it. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. There are here some handouts which have points 1, 6 and 7, as well as 2 to 5, and some notes from what Richard shared earlier as well.